Would you please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6? And before I get started this morning, there's no other way that I could begin this morning but to begin by thanking you. Because I stand here this morning on the foundations of the prayers that you have prayed for me. I haven't even gotten into my message and I'm already crying. Something about this pulpit, Every time I encountered somebody from this church, the first thing that they communicated to me is, I'm praying for you. I'm excited about what God is going to do through you. You know what that is? That's what this message is all about. We're praying, your will be done. So when you're praying for me, you were in fact praying this message. And that was my prayer this morning, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what an encouragement it was to me to know that from the beginning, as I began to prepare, his will was already being done through the lives of individuals in this church as they went before their maker, their creator, their savior, and prayed on my behalf as they began to prepare. And at times where there was confusion, as I'm trying to discern, God, what do you want me to share? I began to see pictures of people from this church. I began to see Eric Newquist, who shared, I'm praying for you. A Christie Jackson, who said, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm excited. I remembered a card that I got from Eric Sheffer's care group, where everybody in their care group signed the card saying how they were praying for me. This is what this series is about. It's not about this teaching. It's about that we practice prayer in our lives. I'm so grateful that the first time I have the opportunity to preach, I can preach on this topic. This topic is a personal passion of mine. And it's a burden that the Lord has laid on my heart for this church. Another reason why I'm so grateful that I get to preach on this topic, it's because it gives me the opportunity to thank two people in particular, and that would be my parents, who are here with us this morning. Before I introduce them, I want to take some time to share with you their example and how their example has had an impact on my life. And parents, what I want you to hear this morning is a profound impact that your example can have on the lives of your children. Your example in this area of prayer will have a profound impact that will far last your life here on this earth. You have the opportunity to point your children to the one place where they can find hope, not in the things of this world, but in God and God alone. What I have learned about this topic has been from the past 30 years of watching, of observing, of listening to my parents as they inspired me in this area of prayer. Here's what I observed. First, I observed a faithfulness in prayer. From the moment my mom found out that she was pregnant, my parents began to pray. They began to pray for my future wife. They prayed that prayer for the next 26 years until on July 8th of 2000, I married my bride, Esther. whom I do not deserve. God exceeded my expectations. My wildest dreams were surpassed on that day. And it was because of my parents' faithful prayers for me for 26 years. You know, it's so often that I find in my own life, if I pray something for a week, I want God to answer it. I'm like, what's going on? And I just want to give up. But I thank God that my parents did not give up praying that prayer. I thank God that my parents were faithful in praying that prayer for me for 26 years. And some of you here may be praying for a loved one, for family members, for friends, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Him. Persevere in prayer. Learn from their example. God hears these prayers and He will answer these prayers. As well, I remember my dad every morning before he would leave the house while I was still sleeping, would come into my room, lay his hand on me, and pray. There were so many times where I was awake, but I didn't say anything. I just wanted to sit there and see and observe my dad praying to God on my behalf. What an example that has been to me of the power of prayer. My dad has influenced me so much in this area. He's also taught me about the priority of prayer in our lives. That prayer is not something that we just do on Sunday mornings. Something that we do at church or before a meal. But it's something that we do every day, every moment of our lives. I remember my mom who faithfully worked the night shift from 11 at night to 7 in the morning. And before she came home, you know what she would do? If it was me, I would have gone home and went to bed because I was so tired for being up all night. Instead, my mom would go to church. She would go to church. Why? Because she wanted to pray. She would meet my dad and pray and spend about an hour or two praying for the church, praying for the people of the church. But after that, she wasn't done. Then she would take an hour, or if the Spirit led her, 2 hours, praying for her son, pleading before the throne of grace that God would have mercy upon me, that God would lead and direct me. That showed me that the priority of my life is not my own comfort. It's not about what's easy for me. It's about going before the throne of grace with confidence. It's about praying. It's about crying out to our Savior. I observed my dad as his ministry grew and as his responsibilities grew, where early on he would wake up around 5 o'clock in the morning. I observed that as his responsibilities increased, the world would say, you need to spend more time doing what you need to get done. You know what I saw my dad doing? I saw him waking up earlier and earlier. Or he was waking up at 3:30 in the morning to pray, to ask God for help and mercy. Because he knew if he was to get all these things done, he cannot do it in his own strength. He cannot do it in his own power. He needed God's help. He realized it was not by his might and his strength. He knew that his strength came from the Lord. And as I was asking him about, Dad, what do you attribute to your success in ministry? My dad has faithfully served for 26 years at Korean Central Presbyterian Church. My dad retired last September, after serving for 26 years where he saw the Lord bless him, where the church started off around 80 people, grew to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. I only share that with you because I want to testify of what my dad responded in that moment when I asked him that question. He said, son, it's not about my eloquence when I preach. It's not about my giftings. It's not because I possess a superior leadership gift. You know what it is? You know what the secret of my success is? It's because I pray. I pray to the one who can help me. I pray to the one who hears my prayers. And not only does he hear my prayers, son, he answers my prayers. Look, look, look at what the Lord has done. This is not my doing. This is the Lord's doing. And I began to see a picture of what it means to pray. I began to see that prayer needs to be part of everything that I do. That nothing that I do is about myself. But I need to persevere in prayer. I need to be faithful in prayer. And I need to believe in the power of prayer. And we began, because of my parents' example, we began to teach my daughter to pray. We began by teaching her simple prayers. When she would get hurt, we would pray, Caitlin, now let's ask God to help you. Let's ask God to take away the pain. When she's in the midst of her sin, where she is wanting to get her own way, we taught her to pray. We said, Caitlin, you know what we can do right now? You can't do this on your own, but you know who can? You know who can help you? God can help you. So let's pray. God, grant me self-control in this moment to be able to respond. And as I was at work yesterday, my wife called me on the phone and she let me know. You won't believe what I heard Caitlin pray as she was in her room taking a nap. She prayed. She said, Daddy, Lord, please give my daddy wisdom. Please help him not to be anxious so that he can be modest. But you know what? That was the sweetest prayer, to know that my daughter, who is 3 years old, on her own initiative, is praying for me. That she is praying that God would meet me, that God would grant me wisdom. Well, Mom and Dad, I'm so grateful that you are here this morning to hear me preach for the first time. But what I want you to know is that I am more grateful to God for your example in my life for the past 30 years. Thank you for your persistent, faithful prayers for me. I stand here not on my own initiative. I stand here not because I have made myself. I stand here because you went before the throne of grace and pleaded before God that God would have mercy on me, and God has answered your prayers and having mercy on your son. Thank you for pouring your life into me, that as I preach this message, I am able to do so because of your influence and because of the impact that you have played in my life. Mom and Dad, I just hope now that as we as a church thank you for your example, my prayer for you this week has been that God would receive all the glory, but that God would refresh you, that God would encourage you. My prayer has been that this would be a small taste of that day when you are before your Savior. And he says to you, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So mom and dad, could you please stand? Could you please stand so that we as a church can thank you for your example, for the ways that you have laid down your life. Thank you for joining me in thanking my parents. But also here with us this morning is my wife's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Lee, and I would like them to stand so that you could welcome them this morning. Well, as we continue this morning on our series on praying the Savior's way, we're going to be looking at the third petition this morning, the last of the you petitions. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Please pray with me. Our Father, thank you this morning as we pray to our Father in heaven. Thank you this morning as I stand here to proclaim your truth. God, I feel my need. I feel my need for you to help me, for I am weak. Lord, I pray that your will would be done, where you said your grace would be sufficient for me, that your power is made perfect in my weaknesses. Lord, I pray that your will be done as I proclaim this truth this morning, that you would bless your people, that you would allow this truth to encourage, to edify. Lord, I pray for the active presence of your Spirit to be here in our midst. Lord, lead and direct us. Help us to position our hearts this morning to hear you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as we look at the text this morning, there are three questions that we need to ask of this text. Three questions that we need to ask of this text. The first question is, what does it mean? What does it mean to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Second is, why is it important to pray this? And the third question we need to ask is, how do we pray this? Let's take a look at the first question. What does it mean? When we pray your will be done, what we are praying about is we are praying about God's revealed will being done. Grudem defines God's revealed will as God's declared will concerning what we should do or what God commands us to do. God's revealed will is given to us in His Word. If you ever had a question about what is God's revealed will for me, open up your Bible. Read the Bible, because all throughout Scripture, God is speaking to us. God is commanding us. God is directing us as to how we are to live our lives. And a common question that we always say is, you know, I wish I knew God's will. Well, you know what my answer would be to you? Read your Bible. Have you read your Bible this morning? Well, you know what God's will is for you this morning then. And so that is what we're talking about. And so what does it mean? Why do we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You know what we're asking there? We're asking that the heavenly realities, you know, when we're in heaven, there's going to be perfect obedience to the Father. Our heart and our desire is going to be immediately to obey him, to follow him. There will be no more sorrow, no more grieving. Evil will never triumph over good in heaven. And so as we pray this prayer, what we are asking is that God, may the realities of what we are going to experience in heaven take place here today. May that happen here, right now, as I live my life. Lord, may this be true. Help us to respond in a way that glorifies you right now. Help us to obey you right now, as we would, as if we were in heaven, where we would perfectly obey you, where we would follow you. That's what we are praying when we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now let's take a look at the second question. Why is it important to pray this? Well, first, because it confronts our desire to do our will. Our desire so often is that our will be done. That I want to be ruled by my desire, by the sinful cravings of my heart, to dictate to me what I am to do every day. You know, my daughter Caitlin, when she was 2 years old, she was loud and clear when her will was not being done. There was no question to me that she was not happy. She would begin by stomping her feet. And then she would proceed to immediately falling on the ground and banging her head on the floor, as if by her banging her head and hurting herself was going to do anything to change our will. You know, to a three-year-old, it's so obvious. It is so obvious when they're not happy that their will is not being done. But you know what? For us, as we get older, it becomes more and more subtle. You know, hopefully as we get older, we're not throwing ourselves on the floor anymore, banging our heads. You know, can you imagine walking into your office one day and what you see is your coworker just banging his head on the wall? You'd be thinking, what is wrong with you? Well, you know what? Here's what it looked like in my life this past week. Here it is, Sunday afternoon. We had just come from church, had a great time of eating lunch together as a family. We put all the kids down, and I was ready for my Sunday afternoon nap. And so I'm in bed, I'm tucked under the covers, I'm all ready to put my head on the pillow and go to sleep, and my wife turns to me and says, "Do you mind if I share an observation for you from last night?" And so, you know, being the humble husband that I am, I immediately and joyfully answered by saying, "Oh, of course, I would love to hear what you have to say." So my wife, as she begins to share her observation, I quickly went from being joyful, from being humble and positioned to receive. In that moment, in my mind was, I was coming up with battle plans to defend my position and to attack her observation. You know, there I was in my heart. You know, my face, there was still a smile. I'm listening. I'm engaged. I haven't turned away. I'm engaged. But here's what's going on in my heart. In my heart, just like my three-year-old daughter, I am stomping my feet. I'm saying, no, my will is going to be done. I do not want to listen to this. This is not right. That's what's going on in my heart. You know, my will in that moment was to see that my wife was my adversary, that her input was unnecessary. My will glory. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. And so even as I'm speaking here, I am praying in my soul for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we can be praying wherever we are, whatever we're doing. But you know why? You know why at times we don't pray? It's because we don't trust. We don't believe that God's will is going to be done. But we can have faith and confidence that what God has said in His Word, if we pray according to His Scriptures, that He will answer our prayers. And not only does this prayer confront our desire to do our own will, secondly, it commits us to a course of obeying God. It commits us to a course of obeying God. You know what this prayer does? It points us. It takes our eyes off of today. And it helps us to look to that day. To that day when we are going to be with our Savior and our God. Where we are going to be with Him forever and ever. Where there will be no sin. Where there will be only joy and happiness. And all that we will be concerned about is worshiping God all the days of our lives. And for you right now, maybe you're in the midst of battling a particular sin. And you're thinking, God, is this ever going to change? God, I've done all the things that my care group leader has told me to do. I've done everything that I know. God, what do I need to do? And you become quickly discouraged. And you want to give up. You know what this prayer does? This prayer points you to that day. It tells you, you know what? There is going to be a day. This sin is not going to have dominion over you for the rest of your life. Because Christ has died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sins. There is a day coming. And so when you pray this prayer, you can pray in faith. God, help me today. God, help me today as I deal with the sin in my heart. Help me today to look forward to that day. But as well, God, help the realities of that day happen today in my life. Help me to obey You. Help me to commit to a course of obeying You, of following Your Word. You know, maybe you're in the midst of a trial. You can pray this prayer as well. Because on that day, you're going to know exactly why you're going through this trial. So often in the midst of this trial, what makes it so difficult is we don't know why. We know that Romans 8:28 says that God is going to work good. But we don't know what the good is. It's so hard for us to see. But on that day, we're going to know what the good is. And so we can pray in confidence. God, help me to rejoice now. Help me to rejoice now knowing that that day is coming when I am going to know. Help me to trust You in this moment. Knowing that Your will for me is good, pleasing, and perfect. Do you see the connections of the wonderful power that we have in prayer? We are not left to ourselves. God has not only given us His Word to reveal the truth to us, He's given us the ability and He's inviting us. He's saying, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. I want you to pray. I want you to come into my throne room. It's not a throne room of judgment. Instead, it's a throne room of grace. So you don't need to come in ashamed. You can come in with confidence and boldness. Because Christ has died on the cross for your sins. You know, Christ not only prayed this prayer. Christ not only taught us to pray this prayer, He also prayed this prayer. He prayed this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, Lord, God, not my will, but Yours be done. He prayed earnestly before the Father, knowing that the Father's will for Him was to endure the cross, was to endure the punishment for our sins. And as he prayed, he never demanded from God that God change His will. Instead, what he did was he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus willingly submitted himself to the Father's will. He followed the course of obedience to God in that moment. You know, Jesus paid the ultimate price for us so that when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we do not have to pay the ultimate price, because the ultimate price has already been paid by God, by his Son dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. So we can pray with faith. We can pray with confidence. We can pray knowing that because he lived perfectly, because he perfectly obeyed the Father, we can come and pray this prayer, not on the basis of our obedience, not on the basis of our acts of righteousness, but on the basis of what his Son has done for us on the cross. And I know that for a group this size, I don't want to assume that everyone here is a believer. I know that some of you here are not Christians. And for you, this prayer was not designed for you. You may know the Lord's Prayer, and you may have recited the Lord's Prayer many times growing up, and you may think that it's enough. It is enough that I know the Lord's Prayer. Please do not make that mistake. You can only pray and be heard by your Father in heaven if you repent by turning from your sins and place your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. I urge you, place your trust in Christ. Place your trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Christ paid the price. He paid the penalty. He bore the penalty for your sins on the cross. If you have any questions, please talk to the person who brought you. Or I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you once again to Alpha, which takes place this Wednesday evening at 6:30. Please come. Please come with your questions. Now that brings us to the third question. How do we pray this? Well, instead of going through how to do this, what we're going to do in a few moments is we're going to actually be praying this together as a church. And so I'm going to save that, this part, later when we actually go through this. But before I end, I just want to share a story of how my dad released me to come here to be part of Covenant Life Church, because it wonderfully illustrates this message. You know, in 1998, I went to Celebration East, not knowing anything about Covenant Life, not knowing anything about CJ. I went there because Esther, who was not my wife at the time, invited me to come. As I was there, from the beginning, from the moment of the first session, as worship is starting, I felt a draw in my heart. I felt that God was communicating to me, I want you to come. I want you to be a part of this church. But in the back of my mind, I knew that could never happen, because my dad was the senior pastor of the church that I attended. I knew that because he was the pastor, there was no way that I could leave that church and come here. But you know what I did? I began to pray. I began to pray, Lord, I sense this leading from you. I don't know if it's from you, but Lord, I want to submit my will to you. And then I went home after the conference. I remember coming home after the conference and sitting down with my parents and just sharing with them. You know, they came and said, so what did you learn? What happened? And I began to share with them how God was drawing me out. Began to share with them how God was speaking to me. I shared with them, I said, you know what? I believe that the Lord is calling me to leave your church and go to Covenant Life Church. And at that moment, I was expecting, son, you know that can never happen, because I'm the senior pastor of this church. Because I'm the senior pastor, you have to be here. But you know what I heard in that moment? I heard that my parents were praying for me. They were praying that God would reveal his will to me. And so we began a process of walking through this decision of whether I was to come here or not. And I submitted my will to God ultimately, but then as well to my Father. Even though at that moment, I was 22, 23 years old. But I wanted to honor God and I wanted to honor my parents in that moment. And as we began to walk through this process, and I started coming to Covenant Life once a month, just getting to know the church, experiencing the church, it seemed like every week God was confirming that his call was for me to be here. I remember going to my dad and saying, "Dad, may I go to Covenant Life Church to be a part of this church?" And he said, "Yes. Go with my blessing." And I went with his blessing. And you know what? It was not until later that I found out that a dream that my dad had always had, a prayer that he had prayed for many years, was that his son would come into ministry. And that his son one day would minister alongside of him in the church that he had poured his life into. He didn't reveal that to me on that day. I found out much later. "Dad, thank you for faithfully praying for me all these years. Thank you for your example of this passage that I am teaching on this morning. Because of your example, I am able to teach this morning. Dad, I don't think you realize that in that moment where you lay down your dream, your will, and followed the course to obey God, what the end result was going to be. But you trusted God. You had faith in God. And Dad, because of your selfless sacrifice in that moment where you released me to come to this church, I am able to stand here this morning to proclaim this truth to everyone here." Dad, my hope is that one day I will be like you, that I will faithfully follow in your example as you have faithfully followed the example of Christ. Not your will, but God's be done. I want to follow your example, Dad. I want to follow your example of submitting my will to God so that God receives all the glory, honor, and praise that is due his name. So, Dad, thank you. Thank you. And for us this morning, this prayer transforms us. It begins by transforming our hearts, begins by transforming our desires. It transforms us in a way to align ourselves with God and his will. It places our focus not on ourselves, but it places our focus on God. This prayer positions us to live today in light of that day that is coming. There is a day coming. And so as we pray this prayer, we can pray in faith, and we can live our lives in obedience to God because of what is to come. Because our Father, who is in heaven, his name is going to be hallowed everywhere. His kingdom is going to be extended to the ends of the earth, and his will is going to be done. So when we pray this prayer, it's not a simple prayer that we're praying. This is a powerful prayer that we can pray. And we are praying to the powerful Father who sent his one and only Son to die on the cross to redeem sinners like you and me, to be able to go before the throne of grace. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the work of your Spirit. Thank you so much that this morning, Lord, we encountered you. We were in the throne room of grace. Lord, my prayer is that everyone here, God, would with boldness and confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that they would go so with faith and confidence, and amazement and wonder at our awesome God. In your name we pray. Amen.